Absalom asked Hushai, "Is this the love you show your friend? Why didn't you go with your friend?" Hushai said to Absalom, "No, the one chosen by the Lord, by these people, and by all the men of Israel, his I will be, and I will remain with him. Furthermore, whom should I serve? Should I not serve the son? Just as I served your father, so I will serve you." Absalom said to Ahithophel, "Give us your advice. What should we do?" Ahithophel answered, "Lie with your father's concubines, whom he left to take care of the palace. Then all Israel will hear that you have made yourself a stench in your father's nostrils, and the hands of everyone with you will be strengthened." So they pitched a tent for Absalom on the roof, and he lay with his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. Now in those days, the advice Ahithophel gave was like that of one who inquires of God. That was how both David and Absalom regarded all of Ahithophel's advice. Ahithophel said to Absalom, "I would choose 12,000 men and set out tonight in pursuit of David. I would attack him while he is weary and weak. I would strike him with terror, and then all the people with him will flee. I would strike down only the king and bring all the people back to you. The death of the man you seek will mean the return of all. All the people will be unharmed." This plan seemed good to Absalom and to all the elders of Israel. But Absalom said, "Summon also Hushai the Archite, so we can hear what he has to say." Then Hushai came to him. Absalom said, "Ahithophel has given this advice. Should we do what he says? If not, give us your opinion." Hushai replied to Absalom, "The advice Ahithophel has given is not good this time. You know your father and his men. They are fighters and as fierce as a wild bear robbed of her cubs. Besides, your father is an experienced fighter. He will not spend the night with the troops. Even now, he is hidden in a cave or some other place. If he should attack your troops first, whoever hears about it will say, 'There has been a slaughter among the troops who follow Absalom.' Then even the bravest soldier, whose heart is like the heart of a lion, will melt with fear. For all Israel knows that your father is a fighter, and that those with him are brave. So I advise you, let all Israel from Dan to Beersheba, as numerous as the sand on the seashore, be gathered to you, and with you yourself leading them into battle. Then we will attack him wherever he may be found, and he will fall on him as dew settles on the ground. Neither he nor any of his men will be left alive. If he withdraws into a city, then all Israel will bring ropes to that city, and we will drag it down to the valley until not even a piece of it can be found." Absalom and all the men of Israel said, "The advice of Hushai the Archite is better than that of Ahithophel." For the Lord had determined to frustrate the good advice of Ahithophel in order to bring disaster upon Absalom. Thus the reading of God's word. We have been preaching our way through the book of 1 and 2 Samuel. And this morning we find ourselves here in 2 Samuel 16 and 15. And I put an outline in your bulletins, the same outline that was there last week. And the outline of the text really helps us to understand the point of the passage. You can see how our text builds like a mountain. A chiastic structure is what we call it. And it is built around the information of the narrator. In verse 15, the narrator tells us, "Meanwhile, Absalom and all the men of Israel came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel was with him." In the center of our text, chapter 16, verse 23, we read, "Now in those days, the advice Ahithophel gave was like that of one who inquires of God. That was how both David and Absalom regarded all of Ahithophel's advice." And then it concludes in chapter 17, verse 14. Absalom and all the men of Israel said, "The advice of Hushai the Archite is better than that of Ahithophel." For the Lord had determined to frustrate the good advice of Ahithophel in order to bring disaster on Absalom. At the beginning of our text, we find Ahithophel and Absalom together. In verse 23 of chapter 16, we read that both David and Absalom regarded Ahithophel's advice like that of one who inquires of God. And finally, the narrator concludes that the Lord had determined to frustrate the good advice of Ahithophel. God is at work in this passage, and God has answered David's prayer. In chapter 15, as David was fleeing from Jerusalem, from his very own son, Absalom, David leaves Jerusalem, he goes through the hot, dry Kidron Valley, and he goes up the Mount of Olives. And in chapter 15, verse 31, David is told, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David prays, O Lord, turn Ahithophel's counsel into foolishness. This is David's prayer. He has prayed that God would do this. And God uses Hushai, his friend, whom David meets at the summit of the Mount of Olives, who answers David's prayer. God uses Hushai to go back to Jerusalem and to frustrate the advice of Ahithophel. And Hushai accomplishes this, playing off two things of Absalom. The first is he plays off Absalom's pride. And the second thing he does in frustrating this advice is play off Absalom's fear. Absalom, son of David, is not a king after God's own heart. Absalom is a king that lives after the lusts of his own heart. Hushai knows this, and God uses Hushai to bring about Absalom's fall, Absalom's destruction, and to protect David, God's covenant king. How does he do this? How does God accomplish this? What David needs as he flees from Absalom is time. In this conflict between David and his son, David has prayed that God would frustrate this advice, and this advice is essential to what happens. What David needs as he flees from his son is time to organize his army, to prepare a defense for the attack that is no doubt to come. And the time that Hushai desires to give him is reflected in the two pieces of advice in chapter 17. The first advice comes from Ahithophel. And you notice that Ahithophel uses three verbs very quickly in succession after one another. I would choose, verse 1, 12,000 men. Verse 2, I would attack him while he was weary and weak. I would strike him with terror, and I would strike him down. I would choose, I would attack, I would strike him down. Four quick verbs said in succession of one another, only three verses to describe his advice, which describes a quick attack upon David. Hushai's strategy is to delay. While Ahithophel gives advice in three verses, Hushai's advice comes in seven verses. Seven cumbersome, deliberate verses. Whereas you can quickly pick out the action verbs in what Ahithophel is saying to Absalom, Hushai, his verbs come throughout the text, throughout the seven verses. You have to look to find them. You have to look to try to understand what exactly he is telling Absalom to do. He surrounds the action verbs with all kinds of language that would trigger in Absalom some thinking about himself, thinking about what he may be accomplishing, connecting him with Old Testament covenant history. And he accomplishes what he set out to do, to delay, to give David time. Well, how does he accomplish this? What is it that Hushai says that enables David to listen to him and to follow what he is saying? Well, the first thing we said is that Hushai is playing off Absalom's pride. In chapter 15, at the beginning of this story concerning Absalom and David, Absalom is seeking to be the king. And he puts together what I described in that sermon as his political campaign. Absalom would go to the gate of the city, and as he stood by the road early in the morning, he would say to those coming to the city, "If only I were appointed judge in the land, then everyone who has a complaint or a case could come to me, and I would see that he gets justice. I would be a king of justice. I would be a king better than my father." And he takes hold of the Israelite who comes forth and he kisses him. Absalom wants to be loved. He wants the people to love him more than they love his father. And when Hushai meets David in chapter 15 at the summit at the Mount of Olives, we read that David specifically tells him what to say to Absalom in verse 34. "Say to Absalom," at the end of that verse, "I will be your servant, O king. I was your father's servant in the past, but now I will be your servant." 3 times in David's advice, he uses the word servant. "Say to Absalom, I will be your servant. I was your father's servant. Now I will be your servant." David's advice is to describe himself before Absalom as his servant. But in chapter 16, that is not what Hushai tells Absalom. Instead, at the end of verse 19 of chapter 16, he puts it in a rhetorical form. "Furthermore, whom should I serve? The answer is Absalom. Should I not serve the son? Who is the son? Absalom. Just as I served your father, so I will serve you. Who is the you? Absalom." When he arrives in the place where Absalom is in Jerusalem, he first tells Absalom, "Long live the king! Long live the king!" He puts all of his focus on Absalom, and Absalom eats it up. And so when we get to chapter 17, and there's 2 pieces of advice, which one is Absalom going to follow? Well, if you look at the beginning of chapter 16 or 17, you notice that Ahithophel has put things in the first person. "I would choose 12,000 men. I would attack him," verse 2. "I would strike him with terror. I would strike him down," verse 3. 4 times he uses the first person. 4 times in his advice he's focused on Ahithophel. Hushai focuses on you. In verse 7, "The advice Ahithophel has given is not good at this time." Well, Ahithophel normally gives good advice, but not this time. Well, why not? Why isn't it good this time? Verse 8, "You know your father." Ahithophel doesn't know him. He doesn't know him like you because he is your father. "You know your father. You know his men. You know what they're like," verse 8. He goes on and again in verse 8, "Besides, your father is an experienced fighter." At the end of verse 10, "All Israel knows that your father is a fighter." So what do you do, Absalom? Ahithophel has said, choose 12,000 men and go out and wipe him out now. But look what Hushai advises in verse 11. Let all Israel from Dan to Beersheba, that's the whole country, as numerous as the sand on the seashore, that was the promise to Abraham in Genesis 15. Your descendants will be as many as the sand on the seashore. That's what Absalom wants for himself. All Israel, as from Dan to Beersheba, as numerous as the sand on the seashore, will be gathered to you. With you yourself leading them into battle. There is no mention of the eye of Ahithophel. Hushai puts all the focus, all the attention upon Absalom. Absalom will have all of Israel gathered to him. That's what he wanted in chapter 15. Absalom will lead them into battle against his father David. That's what Absalom wanted in chapter 15. And instead of a delay, verse 12, we will attack him wherever he will be found. We will fall on him as the dew settles on the ground, and neither he nor any of his men will be left alive. Don't do a quick strike attack with only 12,000 people. Gather all of Israel behind you. Don't let someone else attack him for you. You yourself lead them into battle and fall upon him as the dew settles on the ground. Absalom falls for the fancy language. He falls for the focus of attention on the you. And Absalom, to his own detriment and destruction, follows the wrong advice. But there is a second thing that Hushai is playing off of. He is also playing off Absalom's fear. We mentioned at the beginning about his pride. Absalom is also in fear of his father. And that was set up in Ahithophel's advice in chapter 16. Ahithophel advised Absalom to sleep with your father's concubines on the palace so that all of Israel will see it. And you see there in verse 21 that Ahithophel describes it as, then all of Israel will hear that you have made yourself a stench in your father's nostrils. A stench in your father's nostrils. That phrase was used before. In fact, if you go back to chapter 10, you will see that that phrase was used concerning David and the Ammonites. In chapter 10, the king of the Ammonites dies. The son of that king is next in line for the throne. David sends a delegation to the king of the Ammonites, to the new king, to express his sympathy in his father's death. The new king follows bad advice of his advisors. And in verse 4 we read that he shaved off half of each man's beard, cut off their garments in the midst of the buttocks, and sent them away. He embarrassed David's men. He humiliated David's friendly delegation coming to express sympathy. And we read in verse 6 of chapter 10 that when the Ammonites realized they had become a stench in David's nostrils, they hired 20,000 Aramean foot soldiers to assist them. The Ammonites knew what it meant to be a stench in David's nostrils. When they have done this and recognized what has taken place, they hired another army to assist them. In verse 7 of chapter 10, when David hears the news, he sends Joab and the entire army of fighting men out to attack the Ammonites and the Arameans. Absalom has done something which would greatly offend his father. Even Ahithophel has said this. He slept with his father's concubines. He will become a stench in his father's nostrils. And so Hushai plays off on this fear. Again in chapter 17, you can see the language that Ahithophel is using. In that second piece of advice, he does not use the word father. Instead, he uses David's name, verse 1. Set out tonight in pursuit of David. He goes on to say in verse 2, I would strike down only the king. In verse 3, he says, the death of the man you seek will mean the return of all. Hushai makes sure that he plays off on the father-son relationship. You know your father, verse 8. Your father is a fighter. Your father will be defeated by you. He uses that phrase, your father, over and over again, emphasizing Absalom's fear. And Absalom falls for it. Because in the advice that Ahithophel gives, his advice is not that Absalom would destroy all the people, but they only strike down the king, and the people will follow. Hushai tells him in verse 9, your father is an experienced fighter. Even now he is hidden in a cave or some other place. Remember the days of King Saul? Saul tried to find David. He searched for him out in the caves and the wilderness. He was never able to capture David. Absalom knows those days of his father. Hushai reminds Absalom that if his father would somehow pull off a surprise attack, his followers would lose heart, that they would not go to Absalom, but go back to David. Gather the army, Absalom. Your father's a fighter. If you go out now, you may not even be able to find him. Be careful, Absalom. You better be careful. You know your father. He's not Ahithophel's father. You know his men as fierce as a wild bear robbed of her cubs. Be careful, Absalom. Are you sure you want to follow this advice and do this? And Absalom and all of Israel said, the advice of Hushai the Archite is better than that of Ahithophel. Once again, we come back to the structure of our text. Absalom falls for it. He listens to Hushai instead of Ahithophel. Why does this happen? Who is behind what is all taking place? At the beginning, Ahithophel and Absalom are together in Jerusalem, and David even knows this is trouble. Both David and Absalom in verse 23 recognize that the advice of Ahithophel is like one who inquires of God himself. But at the end of the text, God had determined, or some of your translations say, God had ordained to frustrate the advice of Ahithophel to bring disaster upon Absalom. God is at work. God is playing off Absalom's, God through Hushai is playing off Absalom's sins, his pride, his lusts, his fear. And Absalom does not seek God. Absalom bases his decisions, bases his life on what pleases him, and it leads to his destruction. David prays to God, and he meets Hushai. We read that God is using Hushai at work throughout this whole circumstance. Ahithophel and Absalom never consult God, and it leads to their destruction. There are some commentators, a number of them, who say that Ahithophel is the Judas of the Old Testament. He has rejected God's covenant king, and we read, as he has given this advice and followed another king, at the end of his life, we read in verse 23 of chapter 17, that he put his house in order and he hanged himself. Earlier in chapter 16, we pointed out David's road of humiliation. David is leaving Jerusalem. He goes through the Kidron Valley. He climbs the summit of the Mount of Olives. And on the Mount of Olives, he prays to God, "O Lord, turn Ahithophel's advice into foolishness." And he meets Hushai. In John chapter 18, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David, followed these same steps. John tells us that Jesus left Jerusalem. He tells us that Jesus went through the Kidron Valley. He tells us that Jesus climbed the summit of the Mount of Olives. But when Jesus reaches the summit, it's not Hushai. It's not Hushai that he meets. He meets Judas. Judas, who comes with his soldiers. Judas, who goes up to him and kisses him. Judas, who betrays him. And notice the counsel of Ahithophel to Absalom. His counsel is that he would strike down not all of David's followers, but he would only go after the king. "I would strike him with terror and all the people with him as they flee. I would strike down only the king," verse 2, "and bring all the people back to you. The death of the man you seek will mean the return of all." Satan is the enemy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as our Lord, the Son of David, came to this earth, as he walked about on this earth, he had many who were plotting to kill him. Satan wants to kill God's covenant king. And as he used Ahithophel, we see how God frustrated the advice of Ahithophel and God preserved his covenant king. But when the Son of David came, his life was not preserved. When he came to the summit of the Mount of Olives, he was not met by a Hushai. He was met by an Ahithophel. He was met by Judas and the soldiers who arrested him. He did not flee beyond the summit to the other side of the Jordan and wait for a further attack. They led him back to Jerusalem. They put him on trial. The crowd shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him," and he was struck down on the cross. Ahithophel's strategy is, if you strike down the king, all the people will scatter and go to you. In Matthew 26, verse 16, the Lord Jesus, when he's speaking to Peter, quotes a prophecy from Zechariah. In verse 31 of Matthew 26, Jesus told them, "This very night you will fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." Jesus speaks these words to Peter in the context of what will happen that very night when he is arrested. When he is arrested, Satan believes that this prophecy has been completely fulfilled in his favor. He has the Son of God, God's covenant King, arrested. When he is arrested, the disciples scatter. But that wasn't the end. For the Lord Jesus, his work as covenant King did not end with his death on the cross. That was the beginning. It was his resurrection from the grave that brought about salvation for all of God's covenant people. It was his resurrection from the grave that paid for the sins of God's people so that they will not fall into the hands of the deceiver. It was his resurrection of the grave that gives to all of God's people new life and salvation from sin forever with God in heaven. And that prophecy that Jesus quoted, while temporarily fulfilled, while correlating with the advice of Ahithophel, was reversed. For when they struck down the king, his people clinged to him even more. After his resurrection, they did not flee. After his resurrection throughout the book of Acts, his followers, his disciples, went out and proclaimed the gospel without fear. After his resurrection, it stirs in the heart of all of God's people, even God's people today, that their covenant King lives. That God, through his death on the cross, accomplished salvation forevermore. That his death on the cross was not a sign of weakness. It wasn't that God did not preserve his King. It was that God accomplished salvation through his King so that his people may have salvation forevermore. We see in the story of Ahithophel and Hushai the sovereignty of God, the contrast with his Son, the greater Son, Jesus Christ. We see in a greater way what he accomplished, even greater than David. And we recognize that our covenant King was not weak, but he lives. And the salvation he has brought is the salvation for all his people. They are not scattered. But as from Dan to Beersheba, as numerous as the sand on the seashore, they are gathered to him. And someday in heaven, they will all be there forevermore. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you, O God, for our story this morning, how we can see in your sovereignty how you protected King David. And Lord, we recognize our sovereign God has saved us through the hand of David. And Lord, as the Son of David has come and paid that price for us, we see your sovereignty in our lives. We see how you preserve us, how you protect us, how forevermore we need not worry about what comes our way in this world, for our life is safe and secure in Jesus Christ forever. May you, O God, grant us your peace. May you grant us the protection that you granted David. May you grant us, Lord, the eternal security that we have in Jesus Christ forever, that we may know that someday we will be gathered to our Savior and to you in heaven forever. We pray this all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.